Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Adam, and today I am so excited to be catching up with my entertainment idol, Katie MacLane, who made history for being the first female to win 3 Emmy Awards for playing 3 different roles on 3 different networks on 3 different shows, All My Children, As the World Turns, and Days of Our Lives. Katie continues to bring the sass, humor, and accountability to CBS's Beyond the Gates as Danny's best friend, Pamela Curtis. In between filming her recurring role, Katie has been heating up the off-Broadway stage here in New York City. Katie just finished a run in The Slide is the Negative and is getting ready to star in Roman Freud's Beneath the Ice of the Vistula, which will play a limited engagement beginning February 12th at New York City's West End Theater. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 17 years, I have been going behind the scenes with celebrities from the world of film, television, theater, and music. With over 2,300 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, allowing them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome the one, the only, Katie MacLane. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Intro, my goodness.
Well, I am so excited to be talking to you again. I love our conversations, and one of the things I love most is how you have built so many incredible relationships in this industry. So I always love to start our interviews off by asking you, how did, in this particular case, how did Beneath the Ice of the Vistula come your way?
Roman came to see Orson's Shadow, which I did at the end of 2024. That was a very exciting production. That's a play written by Austin Pendleton. And he approached me cold after the show and said, I'd really like to work with you. I'm writing a script. I think you'd be great for it. Would you be interested? And I was like, I just sort of sussed him out. I didn't know him from anyone. I wasn't going to say Adam. But now I have to. But I didn't know him at all. But I have a very good, I think, radar when it comes to meeting people, and I can pretty quickly know whether they're the real deal or not. And I was like, this guy, I think this guy's the real deal. So I looked him up and I was like, holy moly, he's done so much theater, and he's probably one of the star, if not one of the stars, of the Russian theater scene, Russian language theater scene here in New York City, which is some of the best theater I have ever seen in my life. I went to see him in a play called 5 Evenings. It was just remarkable, remarkable theater. So I was really honored after that. And then I read his play, and it was beautiful, just beautiful play. And it's pretty much two people with some extra, visitors, I'll say, spirits that come and visit. And that role is played by Brad Fryman. I'm so excited to work with him again, who played Orson in Orson's Shadow and was also in The Slide is the Negative. So I guess I can't do a play without my Orson's Shadow guys.
So in Beneath the Ice of the Vistula, you are playing...
Vistula. Yeah, there you go.
Vistula. Thank
yes,
you.
The big river in Poland. Yeah.
Oh. Yes. You are playing Lydia, and I hope I pronounce the last name correctly, Mazurek. And she is the Polish cook.
Yes.
So what do you relate most to about Lydia?
I think she's self-taught. She's a simple person. She didn't go to much school. She didn't read a lot. And I kind of had that same journey in some ways. Like everything I've learned, I've really had to go after myself. And then she specializes in one thing. And I think I understand that as well. Like really leaning into acting for me became something where I began to uncover the mysteries of it, and then began to find things that were just always the same, always pillars that you could count on when you're building a character or building a scene. And so we have that in common. I'm working on a Polish accent, which is super fun. And I was like so scared. But I'm getting there, I'm making progress. And I think she's also a little bit, which I see in myself sometimes, a little bit ignorant about things political or things having to do with other people's lives. Like she doesn't know and she doesn't understand. And I have definitely been that way.
I think we all have been there.
Yeah. Well, it's everything's got a learning curve, so we can chalk it up to that and
Yes,
find to ourselves.
definitely. Well, it's like I feel like these days I'm always quoting Maya Angelou with "When you know better, you do better." So
That's lovely.
I love that
You know,
quote because
and
you only know what you know.
yeah. And I
So.
think you also don't know the value of knowing things until there's a critical shift in yourself when you encounter some bit of information and it touches you, and you're like, and I've at this late stage in the game, I've really begun to, I continue to learn, let's put it that way. I really continue to learn the value of knowledge, of learning, and making an effort to understand history and making an effort to understand the world that we're in.
Speaking of continuing to learn, how do you continue to learn and grow as an actress? Because I do feel like with a lot of the off-Broadway shows you've been doing recently, I feel like some of them aren't as mainstream as other shows out there, and I feel like you really like that some of the more avant-garde kind of shows. So how does that all help you grow as an actress?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
I sort of hit a point where I was like, it was grow or die, because I just had to do it. I had to take the risks that were there to be taken, and sometimes I had to get behind them and help them happen. And I helped produce Orson Shadow, and I learned from that as well. But I feel like as a actor artist, which is what I call myself, I have to put myself in the soup, right? In the hot soup where things are. I don't understand completely what's going on, but I know there's some gut instinct that I have that, like, this is material that I must work on, and it's going to force me out of my comfort zone. And I just had to. So it's given me great joy. It's been incredibly difficult, massive challenges. The material that I've worked on, the language. But I will say the soaps have been an incredible foundation for having like an inner strength to be able to drive through difficult times, difficult moments, difficult rehearsals, physically exhausting times, physically exhausting work. Because, 5 days a week when you're working on the soaps, man, that makes you strong in a way that you never imagined possible.
Yes,
Your show.
and pages of dialogue that you have
Oh,
to
yeah.
learn overnight practically.
Yeah, it either breaks you or you get strong and resilient in a really incredible way. And sometimes I've even wondered, like, am I doing this because I'm not working on a soap 5 days a week? You know, because I have to work hard because I love it and I'm used to it. I don't know. I'll leave that to the therapists.
Well, I will say I am glad that you're not working the 5 days a week on the soap, because then you get to do these off-Broadway shows and other theater things as
Yeah.
well. So,
I also teach, and I teach
yes.
a place called Michael Howard Studios, and I taught last night, and God, it's such a joy. It's such a joy, especially when I can use what I know to help someone else find their
And it
gold.
helps.
It helps me too, because I know the how it feels, the insecurity, or I'm not sure, or am I really good? I don't know. On the this side of the stage, and then now I get to be on the other side of the stage and go, holy crap, you're amazing. So we're not always our best barometer as to how much we are able to affect people.
Do you still get insecure with your acting ability at
I
this
do.
stage?
Yeah. I have a little thing that I call the guardian asshole,
Oh.
and it just says terrible, terrible things to me, and I have to tell it to shut the F up, right, especially before I go on stage. I'm like, shut up. And take control of myself because it's just a weenie,
Oh, yes. I get that. I guess I have a similar
Yeah.
creature in my
Yeah.
mind then. Yes.
A critical mind. We all may all have one. But when you keep taking risks and you continue doing what it is that you love and what you love to do, it can get a little quieter. A little
Yes.
quieter. And then you're like, okay, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm doing my thing. And they're like, well, all right.
Now, going back to Beneath the Ice of the Vistula, going to get
Vistula.
it. Vistula. I'm
Yes,
going to
there
get
you
it by
go.
the end of this interview. I'm going to get
There
it. Vistula.
you go.
All right. And in regards to Lydia, now in several of our previous interviews, you've talked about bringing some real life experiences you brought to your other roles. What would you say a real life experience you are bringing to this role?
I cook.
I know. Oh, I saw that on social media the other
Yeah.
day. Your chicken soup.
I made a chicken soup. I can make a beef stew. I can make coq au vin. I can make a souffle. I can make anything, really. I learned the secret of cooking, and it's two things: following the recipe and patience. And if you have a recipe, you eventually you can start to learn to jazz things, but you want to be careful with your jazz, And I love that creativity of cooking. It's really creative and fun. And so this particular character is a very creative cook, and it's just her joy to imagine, letting the recipes come to her, letting the ideas of what she's going to cook come to her, but it's all filtered through her life experience, her culture and how she grew up, and her mother and her grandmother and her aunt, who are all cooks. So my mother was a great cook. I mean, extraordinary, really. I like being able to bring that joy of that experience to the stage through Roman's beautiful words. Yeah.
That's incredible. The cast is going to love you if you cook them something. Now,
I know, right?
the show, according to press notes of what I've read so far, the show is about a reclusive Jewish composer and his Polish cook who form a volatile bond in the weeks leading up to the Nazi invasion, forcing them to confront art, love, and survival in a world on the brink of collapse. So, why do you feel this show speaks to the times we are currently living
Well,
in?
it's a very tumultuous time in our country right now, to say the least. And this era, was the era where that tumultuous activity went next level. Beyond the beyond. It is the example of the great tragedies that can occur. It is the warning. And what happens to people when they're, what to artists in particular in this play, when they are faced with the possible decimation of their culture and their people and their physical selves, the otherizing, the minimizing of the quote unquote other, then I hope, which is I do see happening in the time we are now, just like I was talking about, the awakening of empathy and compassion for someone else's suffering who is different than you. And then I think that's really extraordinary. And this play touches on that as well, and how they come together to care for one another in a really beautiful way while the world is falling apart. So I hope people will come and see it and feel inspired and feel like galvanized in a way in that only I think theater and great film and television, of course, can do, which is to touch the human spirit in such a way that it fulfills you, it strengthens you, it makes you feel good about being alive and the understanding the value of your humanity and humanity in general.
That's a great way to say it. And since the show is about confronting art, love, and survival, how do you feel this show is forcing you to confront those issues in your own life?
Well, I am queen procrastinator when it comes to memorizing lines. So, art is sometimes toil. Sometimes it's just toil. And you have to do your toiling, or you will not be able to get to the place where you get to fly. It is just so much backbreaking, grinding of learning lines and memorizing blocking and digging to find the character. But the other thing is that when you do it, and this is one of my favorite parts, is that this certain kind of creative mechanism begins to take over and begins to offer you ideas. And then you're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's what that means. And like the discovery part of that is just so delicious. I just love it. Love wise, I mean, I think there is a love that grows between these two characters, and it's very unusual, and it has to do with two people that are very different, but in one way, they are exactly the same. But I do think being able to communicate and being able to understand each other's reality on some level is very important, because otherwise you'll just fight all the time, and to have a sense of understanding, between one another about someone has a process. That process is different than yours, but you can see them in it and you understand what it means to have to be in a process and you can give them space, for example, right? That's one thing. I mean, love is a very wonderful topic of conversation, I think, in that there's so much to so many kinds of love, and this one in particular, I think it becomes a kind of dedication that is bigger than any either one of them thought that they would encounter. Survival, I think that in this play, she's trying to survive by keeping her job. And I understand what that can be like. I'm in an interesting place in my own life in terms of survival, in that I've discovered for me, I cannot survive without aesthetic beauty. I just can't do it. I'm not capable of it. It's just agony to not have aesthetic beauty around me or as a part of my life on a regular basis. And so that's kind of the okay, well, how are you gonna make aesthetic beauty? How are you gonna be a part of aesthetic beauty? And how do I make more of a life of a living from my pleasure of aesthetic beauty? So enjoyment of making it, creating it. I think that's always the challenge for me. And I just love it when people call me up and offer me a job that requires me to have aesthetic beauty or, create. Because, painting like you should have seen what I looked like this morning. I look like usually a small little gnome or Irish, a fairy that has crawled out from the mud. I'm just like a plain-faced girl. And then, I make the hair and I make the makeup and I make a person that's sort of aesthetically appealing, I hope.
Now, how does this show challenge you in ways that other roles have not?
It's like I'm on stage almost the entire time. The learning about what a Polish woman is like in 1939 and a Polish villager is like is a whole new character, a whole new body to walk in, and that's super fun. I just love it.
And how are you learning the Polish accent, which you mentioned earlier in the interview? As an actress, what do you do to learn the
So,
accent?
YouTube has an unbelievable amount of resources when it comes to learning accents. And so I just watch one after the other after the other. And then I start with like a vowel or a consonant and just work on those for the whole script. I'm just doing of E's and W's right now, right? And then something starts to take over as I listen and the accent begins to sort of make itself, which is wonderful when that happens.
Oh, I love it. Well, I do have to start wrapping things up. So, I, of course, cannot do an interview with you without incorporating some Pamela Curtis into
Yay.
it. So, what advice do you think Pamela would give to Lydia with How to Survive?
Oh my gosh. Well, two people could not be more different. Oh God. I think she would be like, darling, you have to go shopping. What are you wearing? Why are you working for this man? Like, come with me, dear. Good grief. What is this language that you are speaking? Come on now. But she would say, I admire your independence. I think she would say your independence and your personal dedication to living how you want to live is great. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. And lastly, if Pamela and Danny had lived together leading up to the Nazi invasion, how do you think they would spend their time together?
Oh, well, I think they would be very active and pragmatic and resourceful. And I think they would dedicate their time to helping others 100%, making sure that the people that in their community had all the resources and help and assistance that they needed.
They
Yeah.
would be the dynamic duo.
They'd figure it out.
Yes,
Get it done.
as they always do.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your time today, Katie. I always love talking to you.
Thank you. I love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And everybody watching and listening, go see Katie in Beneath the Ice of the Vistula. Did I get
Beneath the ice of the Vistula.
Vistula.
Yes.
Beneath the Ice of the Vistula.
There you go.
All right. It is a limited engagement from February 12th through the 28th at New York City's West End Theater on the Upper West Side at 86th Street. Of course, I'll have ticket information on theadam.com, and we can't wait to see you. And of course, continue to look for Katie on Beyond the Gates in her recurring role of Pamela Curtis. Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autograph copy.
Happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.